Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Podke. Rhi, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing okay. Looking forward to this gearing up for the stretch run. I mean, there's so much cool stuff going on in softball. Like, I'm almost like I have to kind of sit back and just marinate on everything and feel like, okay, what's going on? Because we're racing to the final here to where we get the postseason going. And it's been exciting. And there's still a lot of races up for grabs, which is great.
Yeah, the one race that is been clinched, well, partially clinched, we talked about or offline, is that Arkansas winning their first SEC championship. And I know, Rhi, you did a story on the Razorbacks and Courtney Dyfel. And what are your thoughts in terms of Arkansas winning that first SEC championship?
Yeah, they clinched it on Monday night. They needed to win one of two against LSU in that doubleheader. And they saved the dramatics for the final one, the second game of the doubleheader. Mary Half pitched an excellent game. They finally got some home runs, and they clinched at least a share of the first SEC title in program history, a program that dates back to 97, a program that just, you know, 5-6 years ago had one SEC win, one in 23 in back-to-back seasons before Courtney won of those. And then she came in and took over. They had a 1-23 season. And then since then, it's just been all uphill, climbing. So they got to there, and just a great, great reward for a program that's, just, you know, built the right way and done it, and just a fun team to watch. I really enjoy watching this team. They seem to really enjoy each other and like each other, and just a fun style of play, you know, swinging for the fences and great pitching. So yeah, it was pretty cool. They've clinched at least a share, and they celebrated, and then now they get this weekend off and they can watch to see if Florida, because Florida still has a chance to share it, but at least they kind of broke up that Alabama-Florida stranglehold on the SEC title the last 12 years.
Yeah, and the Aggies actually head out to Gainesville to take on Florida in Gainesville. So Florida will take on Texas A&M this weekend. And like you said, Rhi, Florida has to sweep all three games. Is that correct for them to get to share?
They have to sweep to share. And to get there, they needed a Hannah Adams home run, three-run home run in the seventh inning against Missouri. If they had lost that, then, you know, Arkansas would have already clinched without even playing LSU. That doubleheader. So she came up clutch again. That's her nickname, Hannah Clutch Adams, which you'll hear more about later on the pod. But yeah, they beat Missouri in the seventh inning and that 3-2 win. So now they're in position. If they can win, if they can sweep A&M at home, they can at least they get a share. If they lose one, then Arkansas's, you know, clinches outright. They don't have to worry. But so it's all on Florida to, you know, if they can win three, they can still get another title this year.
So that's the SEC race. And then we head on over to the Big 12. We've got a huge series this weekend in Oklahoma State at Oklahoma. Oklahoma is still undefeated. And they are, you know, I think this is going to be the biggest test for them in terms of who's going to actually give them a run for their money. Kenegaski and the Cowgirls head to take on the Sooners. What are your thoughts, Rhi, on that Big 12 race?
Yeah, that bedlam is always intense in any sport at those two schools get together. And then with the conference title on the line between the, you know, the two softball schools, it's going to be really, really fun there. I mean, it's going to be rocking. The teams are going to be intense and pumped up and ready to go. Oklahoma's a juggernaut. Last night they beat Wichita State, their 30th run rule victory of this season alone. 30 in a season is nuts. And granted, some of their schedule's been a little bit, you know, compared to past years because of COVID, but I mean, they're run ruling their whole conference. So let's just not be like too naive about it. They're good. So it's not just because of inferior competition. They're run ruling legit teams. And Oklahoma State seems to be, they had a little bit of a speed bump. They seem to be hitting their stride now. They come off a sweep of Texas last week. So it's going to be great. I mean, it's just going to be, it's going to be fun time. Carrie Eberle's going to be you know, racking her brain, Kelly Maxwell, to try to come up with a solution for that Oklahoma lineup, because no one really has yet aside from Georgia, which really Oklahoma scored enough runs in that game, you know, where they probably could have won even their loss this season. So it's just hard to shut down that lineup completely. You really got to just hit with them to stay with them.
Yeah, and you said Carrie Eberle and Maxwell. I watched Maxwell throw a little bit last weekend, and she did a really nice job against Texas. So I think if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be those Cowgirls to hand the Sooners a loss. They're still 40-1. I mean,
it's crazy.
40-1 record
and 30 run rules. I mean, it's like run 30. It's like we just, I mean, it's almost become like, you know, just like, oh, okay, you know, like every, like it's normal, but it's not really normal, folks. It's not normal. This is not. I mean,
it feels like it's normal because it just happens every week now. But so that's the Big 12. Then we head on over to the ACC. We've got a race going over there, a historic race as well. Reed, tell me a little bit about what's happening in the ACC.
Yeah, well, we got Clemson, a newcomer in their first full season. Obviously, last season was shortened from COVID. They are in first place in the ACC standings heading into this final regular season weekend. 26-4 in conference. Florida State, the perennial power, is 24-4-1. So Clemson can win an ACC title in their first year as a program. They are playing at Syracuse. FSU's at Pitt. These are four-game series in the ACC. So both are, you know, projected to win those series. And if Clemson can and can win enough, they'll be ACC champions in their first season as a program in the ACC, which is pretty phenomenal. But, you know, having a veteran coach like John Rittman, it's really no surprise that they are, you know, contending. And he's the perfect person to pick for a program like this to start from the ground up. He really put a lot of thought into how they would build it. Talented, talented players. And they are, you know, all set to clash for the title. They've set the bar pretty high there in the first season, I think. But it's great. I think this is great for softball across the board to show that if you invest in a program and put resources behind it, that you can have it thrive right away. We've seen that with Duke as well, and Duke's in third place in the standings in the ACC. So it's really been a credit to the administrations there and the coaching staffs and the players. And it's great for the sport altogether. I even talking to Lonnie Alameda at FSU. I mean, it's obviously a threat to her program in a sense of titles, but she's more than happy to have that happen if it's, you know, helps the game and it helps them, because, you know, they've always been questioned going in. Are they tough enough? Do they have a hard enough schedule? The ACC being better helps them in the long run.
Yeah. So I've been watching the ACC all season long and just exciting watching all those games. And the ACC network just makes it so easy for us to view all those games and giving those kids exposure and that conference exposure. And it just continues to grow. And we'll see how Clemson does this weekend. So that's the ACC. Then we'll head to the Big 10. We've got Michigan and Minnesota, and they square off this weekend. Michigan is 28-5 and Minnesota is 25-7. Those two teams, they've got a pair of pitchers on both staffs that are going to go head to head. We got Strocco and Bobian, and then on Michigan, and then Pfizer and Pease over on Minnesota. So that will be one to keep an eye on for this weekend. And that's been, the Big Ten's been crazy. I mean, it's still conference only. We've been talking about that. And but the NCAA did give a potential regional site to Michigan, which to some people was a surprise. I don't think it was to us. And so keep an eye on that Big Ten race. Any other thoughts, Ree, in terms of the Big Ten?
No, it's been those top few teams have been fun to watch. I mean, obviously, and even some of the, like, Illinois, some of these teams that, you know, that generally haven't been, you know, superpowers, they're having some good results. And I know it's Big Ten only, but still been impressed with some of the results and stats we're seeing coming out of some of those teams. And Michigan, yeah, Michigan's bats have been coming around, which has kind of been the last, you know, season or two past. Like, will they have enough offense? These last few weekends, they really have been, and it'll be great to see the test against this Minnesota pitching staff to see if they can continue that.
Yeah, and this week we had Briley Klosterman from Iowa. She was our freshman of the week. And then another name that comes to mind is Jada McFarlane out of Maryland. So just some great play that's happening in the Big Ten, and it's a little bit more difficult for those to view, but keep an eye on that Big Ten race. Then last but not least, we've got the Pac-12. And we've got two weekends left in the pack. UCLA is at the top. UCLA, Washington. UCLA will play Stanford at home and then travel to Arizona for the final series. So pending, barring no major upsets this weekend, I think as we go into that second weekend in Arizona, there is a potential for, but Arizona would have to sweep. So keep an eye on that Pac-12 race, but it looks like the Bruins are going to be on top there. Ree, any thoughts on the pack?
No, just, you know, it's been good to see them getting games in, first of all. I mean, Cal being back, and obviously Arizona kind of rolled through them pretty easily with the two games instead of the four because of the COVID. But it's good to finally see games getting played with, like, Stanford, and we're seeing some of their young talent playing. And just happy that that conference can get off the ground and hopefully potentially get some more fans at different locations. But I'm geared up for that. Arizona, you know, it's kind of been a little bit inconsistent down there with the offense, and even some of the pitching is kind of shuffled around more than I think we thought. So I'd love for them to really start get rolling. So that final series will be one that will be kind of interesting. And Oregon's kind of dropped off a little bit. I mean, granted, they're playing some tough competition, but I think they've kind of taken a turn down, and I'm sure they're hoping they can turn it back up in time for the postseason, because it's been a little bit of a drop for the Ducks.
Yeah, and Arizona State, I know we keep talking about them. They're the one that we probably in the beginning of season weren't talking too much about, and they're kind of hitting their stride and play Oregon State this weekend. So, again, you said the Ducks have kind of taken a little drop off, and the Sun Devils are on the uptick. So keep an eye on the pack. That's the pack. With that said, Ree, who do we have on our players only segment of the podcast this week?
Oh man, I'm excited because we got some timely guests, and I was glad that we get him in the time we did. We have, as we said above, Hannah Clutch Adams of Florida, the senior, is joining us on the podcast, and Chelsea Alexander, the leading hitter from Oklahoma State. So we got those two setting up some crucial games for the stretch run, and asking Hannah about her big home run against Missouri, and Chelsea about the Bedlam showdown coming up. And we talk some fluffy cows. We talk a whole bunch of fun, interesting stuff. Really, really enjoyed these two, as I do all of them. I mean, I seem to say that every week, but I love these because we see how great softball players are in terms of just personalities and knowledge. And this is another one that I think that the listeners are really going to enjoy.
All right. With that, we've got Rhiannon Bodke hosting the Players Only segment of the D1 Softball Podcast.
Hello, I am Rhiannon Bodke, and welcome to D1 Softball's Players Only segment of the podcast. These weekly episodes feature a rotating group of players from around the country that gives you an inside look at all the action through their perspective. They take us on the field, in the dugout, and in the classroom. Joining us today for episode number 13 is Florida senior Hannah Adams and Oklahoma State senior Chelsea Alexander. Adams is batting a team leading 401 with 8 home runs, 6 doubles, and 33 RBIs. She's actually been hit by 10 pitches, which is a team leading, so we'll mention that. And a perfect unstolen base attempt, 7-for-7. And if anyone's paying attention to softball on Sunday, I think everyone saw her name once she hit a 3-run home run as Florida rallied in the 7th to beat Missouri 3-2 and win the series with a super clutch home run there, top of the 7th. So Alexander is batting a team leading 435 with 6 doubles and 14 RBIs for Oklahoma State. And she's 14-15 in stolen base attempts. And both of these teams have a huge series coming up this weekend with conference title implications. Florida's trying to clinch a share of the SEC title, and Oklahoma State battles rival Oklahoma, which in any season, no matter what the standings are, is a great one. But with the conference title on the line, is going to be even more exciting this weekend. So thank you both for joining us on the D1 Softball Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, Hannah, we'll start right there because I think that was, I think people are still a little bit talking about it. We'll transition into the next weekend's game soon, but take us through that at bat for the home run over Missouri. I mean, it wasn't just the home run, the whole at bat. I mean, you were fouling off pitches and just staying alive. Can you kind of take us through that at bat from your perspective?
Yeah, first of all, I think it was really huge for our 8 and 9 hole to get on base for me to come up to bat to get some RBIs. I think that's really huge when you can turn the lineup over late in the game like that. And then for my at bat, I was just trying to see the ball well and get a good pitch over the plate to hit and really battle through my at bat like all my teammates had done the whole game. And we were just trying to stick with our plan and just tried to come through for them. And I got a pitch that I liked and was able to hit it over.
What was the feeling inside once you saw it go over?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. I didn't even know if it was going to go over or not. I was like watching it the whole time I was running. And then when it finally went over, I was super excited.
Yeah. And then you got to play defense. So make sure it stands. That's the next part, right? That's the part everyone kind of, you guys did, which is great. Chelsea, Oklahoma State. Now, I think you guys had a little bit of a rough patch there, maybe middle of the season, but you guys really seem to be hitting your stride. You swept Texas this last weekend. Did something change, or what do you think has been the difference with you guys now kind of playing so much better?
Yeah, Coach G always tells us that you want to play your best softball at the end. So we did go through a little bit of a rough patch, but I think that this, especially this last weekend, we kind of put the game into a better perspective and remembered that it's just a game at the end of the day, and to go compete and fight. And I think we showed that on the field. So, you know, we're happy to be playing our best softball right now and hope we can keep it going. But I think that that perspective change really helped us on the field this weekend.
Hannah, now, you know, even before this weekend, you, I know Florida's been tagging with the nickname Clutch, Hannah Clutch Adams. Is that a new thing, or when did that start, and how do you like that? That's a lot of pressure, man, when they're nicknamed Clutch.
Oh my gosh, I know. I've been hearing that a lot lately, but it started last year. I had a few walk-off hits during the season, and that's kind of when it all started. And then I just keep getting in these situations late in the game where I'm able to walk it off. So I guess I don't really hate it because it's a good thing to be in those situations, but I think it's funny whenever people call me that.
Yeah, well, you're coming through. That's good, because, like, you know, if you weren't, the nickname would probably go away real quick.
Yeah.
Chelsea, you guys have the big rivalry game this weekend, and everyone knows enough about that Oklahoma lineup. I think we always joke on the pod, like, wait, I think they just hit another home run. Like, as soon as, like, if you say that, you're likely to be right. How's the team preparing for that team and that lineup?
Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to keep playing our softball throughout the year. You know, it is a big rivalry, and I think that keeping that pushed as far back in the back of your mind as you can and not let that stage get too big is kind of the key to being successful in that situation. So I think we're just trying to stay within ourselves and keep playing our sport, our game, and taking – Coach, she always talks about taking the sport of softball or playing our game against whoever it is in the other dugout, not playing another person's jersey. So I think we're just trying to, you know, we're preparing like we do for any weekend. It's going to be a big one. We know it's going to be a fight, but we can just play our, you know, like I said, play our game. I think that we have a good shot, so we'll see how it goes. They're good, so.
Now, you've been, you know, being a senior, you've been through a few of these, and it looks intense on TV. It looks intense when you know, if you're even just covering it in person, but what is it about when you're playing in it? I mean, can you describe what it's like compared to other ones? Because it just looks different, and I assume it feels different even from a player's perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it's so – with any sport with OSU, that rivalry is there. So, I mean, we feel that as fans watching football, basketball, baseball. And so it's intense, you know, the stand – you feel it in the stands. The fans are – you know, geared up and ready to go because it's Bedlam, and you know, it can get to be a lot. I remember freshman year, I was like, oh my goodness, like, this is crazy. It really is. It's just intense. They're always a good team, a really competitive matchup. So I'm just fortunate enough that we're starting to play better softball, and this program's getting to a spot where we can compete, and it's not, you know, just way out of left field to say that we can go win a game against them anymore. So it's cool to see the program grow in that perspective.
Hannah, you know, being in the SEC every weekend's a tough weekend, and you guys obviously have a big one. You need to sweep to kind of clinch a share of the title, which is amazing, because the last 12 years you were Alabama, Florida, Alabama's won that title. You know, as we take this, Arkansas won the first last night with a win against LSU. What is it like to play in the SEC, and especially coming this weekend, how is the team, you know, mentally preparing, knowing what's in front of you and knowing what you have to do to get done?
Yeah, like you said, I think every single weekend it's a grind to win a series, and every single opponent that you have, it's a challenge. So I think that's really cool to say that. And then as far as for this weekend, I think we're just really thankful to have the opportunity to be able to play for a share of the championship. And then this week, we're just going to prepare really hard for this weekend. And then we just have to make sure that we focus one game at a time and not get too far ahead of ourselves, and just focus on Friday's game to start.
Now, you guys, we see the softball side of you so much. What do you guys have a passion or pastime outside of softball that you know, I know you don't have much time as a student athlete, but Chelsea, do you have anything, a passion or pastime that you like to get into that kind of maybe takes your mind away from softball?
Yeah, like you said, we don't have a whole lot of time. I like to serve, so that's kind of my little niche, and I find ways to do that on the team, because I mean, it's near impossible to do other things, it seems like, between school and traveling and practice and games and everything. when I was younger, my little brother has Down syndrome. So I've become really involved with the Special Olympics at my high school. And I've been able to kind of keep that going and stay in touch with people with disabilities. And that's kind of like my love, what I love to do. I love to help others and just make people feel good. So I'm just fortunate if I have a platform where I can find ways to do that through my sport too. So.
Wow. That's great. What have you done and what maybe do you still want to do with your brother in the Special Olympics?
Yeah. So he doesn't compete in Special Olympics. Actually, he's 11, about to turn 12 this month. So he doesn't actually compete. So I haven't been near as involved with Special Olympics over the last 4 years because I'm not in a position like in high school, I was in a position where I could do that through my school. And now that my brother, you know, there's ways to volunteer and stuff, but with my schedule, it's kind of crazy. In the past, I did like fundraisers through my high school to help raise money for our special education program to help them on trips, like going to state special Olympics and stuff like that. And then my little brother shows cattle. So Oklahoma, that's not unheard of, but I don't know if you guys know about that in FFA and 4-H. Agriculture is a big part of my family and my background. So he shows mini Herefords. They're fluffy little cows. I don't know how else to describe them. And so that's kind of his thing that he does that really helps him grow and develop some of those skills that he needs.
That is so cool. We got to give him what is his name? We'll shout out your brother and we'll follow, make sure we're supporting his cattle showing.
Yeah, for sure. My mom's Facebook is where you always find his stuff. It's Joey Johnson Alexander, but shout out to Caden Alexander. That's my little brother. So
good. Well, we'll follow it. I'm excited. That's awesome. We can give him some props. Yeah. Share some photos with us. We'll post them and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
What about you, Hannah, outside of softball? What is something you're maybe passionate about or a pastime you have?
Yeah, I think like you said, there's not really much time outside of softball for us to do much, especially in the past year with everything that's happened. But for me, as crazy as it sounds, I enjoy spending time with my teammates outside of softball. We've gotten closer this year, I think, with the circumstances that we have than any other year before this. So I think for me, it's really refreshing to like be able to get outside of softball, hang out with my teammates, get to know more about them other than being at the softball field.
When you guys were, you know, when you were younger playing softball, do you have a favorite childhood memory or something that you really feel like, you know, really attracted you to the sport? How about you, Chelsea? We'll start. Anything from your youth softball days or how you got into it that's interesting?
I don't even remember how I got into it. I've been playing so long. My older brother played t-ball, like baseball, and I remember like fighting my mom so hard because I wanted to go out on the field with them in like the middle of their games and their practices. And so it was always like tough for my parents to keep me in the stands with them. And so they put me on a team when I was like 3 or 4, I think. So I've been playing forever. And that kind of, I just really found a love for the sport that I've been able to keep it going for as long as I have. I'm very fortunate. So
how about you, Hannah?
Yeah. I think the way that I got into softball, I started when I was 4. I actually told my mom when I was growing up, when we were talking about sports, I was either going to be a softball player or a cheerleader. And then I ended up picking softball, and then I played basketball too. And then I played basketball and softball all throughout elementary school. And then after elementary school, I decided to stay and focus on softball. But both of my parents growing up, they played baseball and softball. My dad played baseball in college. So there was always a background of it in my family. And he was able to really help me grow and learn a lot about the sport. So that's kind of how I got started and fell in love with it.
That's awesome. That's good. Well, good, good. I'm glad we stole you from the cheerleading side of things. That's
me too. Great. Me too.
Not that there's anything wrong with cheerleading, but I guess last two questions, we'll let you go. I know you got a lot of preparation to do for this weekend, but in terms of the team, you know, you guys both are very big team players and teammates. And what's one of the favorite traditions maybe in the dugout that each team does? Hannah, is there something that Florida really does that you love as a tradition or especially?
I think we have a lot of traditions throughout the whole pregame warm-up and during the games. But some of my favorite things is like before the games, we have line love. So whenever we're in our stretch lines, we have our own little thing that we do together to kind of get us started on the day. And we have it, it's the same thing every single day for every single line. And they keep it going through every single year. So it never changes. It's been the same ever since they started doing it. So that's a super cool tradition, I think, that we have. And then I really like all the videos that they play before the game. It kind of gets you fired up to watch those and then get your mind right for the game.
How about you, Chelsea? Any dugout traditions or anything, pregame traditions?
I feel like the energy in our dugout has been insane the last couple of years. So we started a lot of little traditions that we do, just our cheers. So it really just the overall energy. I love coming in like off the field or after an at bat or scoring a run and just being greeted with all that energy. Our home run chain's a big deal. I don't know. It's cool to see. There's so many little things that they do, like their little cheers and like move Kenny, get out the way. That's a good one. And then pregame, I mean, we keep the same routine, but I think we kind of like just keep in pregame relaxed, that it's not really anything too intense. That, I mean, just having that comfort of keeping it nice and easy as we're warming up. But
yeah, those chains are big. Football, softball, everyone's got those chains now, huh?
Yeah, everybody's getting the chain.
That's a big deal. All right, we're going to leave you on this hard-hitting question. We always do. I know it's going to be real hard for you guys, but what's the show that maybe you can binge or you have binged that you just absolutely love? Hannah, is there a binge-worthy show that you can recommend to our podcast listeners?
I don't really watch shows a lot, but I think one show that I watch with my friends a lot is All American, and that's really it. I'm not a big Netflix or movie person, but I definitely got into that series and watched the whole thing pretty fast.
How about you, Chelsea?
Yeah, I'm not a big TV watcher either, but I did just finish Schitt's Creek. I thought that was so funny. I don't know. It's kind of a different humor, but I thought it was pretty good. So,
no, right there with you. I don't watch much either, but during quarantine, someone suggested that, and there was no sports on, and I watched it, and I'm with you. That was hilarious. It was really, and it's
quick. I went through it so fast. Yeah, I was like, I'm already finished with all the seasons, and I don't watch a lot of TV, but it was binge-worthy for sure.
Well, that's good. Perfect Rex. There we go. Everyone, All American, Schitt's Creek, you all get on it after softball season, because we all want to watch till the end through Oklahoma City. Thank goodness it's back this season. And we really appreciate you guys taking the time. I know this last stretch of the season is really intense, and some people are taking finals. Some people are gearing up for big series. So thank you so much for coming on the pod. And we definitely want you back. And if anyone out there is listening, make sure you download and subscribe to the D1 Softball Podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Rate and review so we can have great guests like Hannah and Chelsea back on the pod in the future. And make sure to subscribe to d1softball.com, because we've written about these teams and these players numerous times. We want to make sure you can read about them, because we're sure it's going to continue for these next few weeks. So thank you both for joining us today on the D1 Softball Podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks again for having us.
'Always great to hear from the players themselves in our players only segment of the podcast. Fluffy Cows, Hannah Clutch Adams. I mean, it's got it all. Nice job on that read. I love that part of our podcast.
Yeah, they were really, like I said before we introduced them, really, really great guests. I'm just really fun. Learned some stuff about them. Had no idea about Chelsea and her brother, Caden. So Rocket Caden, I tweeted something out yesterday. So if you can support Caden by going there and checking out the photos of him showing his fluffy cows, let's all support that dude. That dude rocks. Really excited. I actually want to get out to Oklahoma and watch one of those soon now. That's my goal. Like, I want to get out there and attend one of those livestock cow shows and root for him. So,
maybe during OKC. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, say got to be pretty close to Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Well, she said that, you know, that they maybe, you know, there's certain seats. I don't know if they would schedule one during the World Series, but if there is, I'm there. I'll take a road trip in the middle, like that off day or something. I'm heading there. I love it. We'll be there, Chelsea. Just save us a seat.
Yeah. And so we're taking a look at the last 2 weeks of the season here. We've got most conferences finishing up conference play and heading into their conference tournaments. The PAC does not have a conference tournament, but Ree, which tournament are you most excited to watch? I'm actually hopefully going to head out to this SEC tournament, but what are your thoughts on these tournament implications and the other conferences?
Yeah, that's the one that I'm always excited to see the SEC because it's so competitive. And then you got it at Rhodes Stadium, Roadhouse with 50% capacity. You know, that's just always a fun one. And ESPN makes it a huge thing with all their, you know, personalities and talent, SEC Network coming down there. That's always a fun one. But you know what? Like some of these mid-major ones are going to be ones because, you know, bid stealing and automatic bids up for grabs. So those are going to be some of the more significant ones. And I think we'll really get a breakdown more of that next week once we see how everything plays out. But those are ones that you probably want to keep your eye on more because those will have more implications for NCAA status and everything.
Yeah, so that does it for week 13, if you can believe it or not, Ree. We've made it 13 weeks of the D1 softball podcast. Any final thoughts?
No, every time I look at the calendar, I'm like, wow, we're only like this much away from postseason. And believe me, it seems like, wow, we've had a lot of games because every weekend I'm just like, there's too much. But in the hindsight, you know, from what we thought with COVID going in and everything, we'll say this every week, it's a blessing that we've been able to get this far and everyone's been relatively safe and we've gotten some great games in. And I'm just so grateful that the season has been able to play out as far as it has. And I'm just excited to see everyone, you know, that the tournament back in OKC, hopefully we can get that done. No matter how many people are there, it's going to be a celebration. So excited that we've gotten this far and just crossing fingers that we can get to the end line.
Yeah, we've got just a few weeks left. I can't believe it. And Selection Sunday is going to be an exciting one. I think this season, I mean, it is every season, but more than ever, we're going to have, it's going to be just a fun postseason, and I'm excited to have softball back on television, back kids back out playing. And other than that, I think that's all we've got for you this week. Thanks for joining us on the D1 Softball podcast. Like, subscribe to the site. We're on d1softball.com. You can like and subscribe the podcast and let us know what you think. If you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, email us at info@d1softball.com. And we will see you next week.